तैयार करके आए थे, पर वो बोलने के पहले उसने तो आए ही नहीं ना काम पे।
सो दिस क्वेश्चन इज टू राधा गोपीनाथ प्रभु. नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर आफ्टर लीविंग हिज बॉडी, whether he went to the spiritual world, whether he went to the spiritual world. If so, then as he is Brahma originally, there might be a vacancy for Brahma's position. Can you shed some light on this?
Krishna guarantees in the Bhagavad Gita, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Yah prayati sa mad bhavam yati na asti atra samshayah. Anyone who doubts, doubting Krishna's words. So 100% he went back home, back to Godhead. But at the same time, in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, it says, actually Brahma prayed that in your next life, in your next, I won't say incarnation, because incarnation is not an appropriate word, today I was enlightened. In his next avatar, I want to come in a way that I won't get the itch to test you. And therefore, Krishna fulfilled that. So after finishing that, obviously he went back. So now, how do we accommodate this? He went back to the spiritual world and went back as Brahma. Immediately what comes to my mind, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikhilashvapi avasthasu jivan muktasa uchyate. Krishna says in the, Rupa Goswami says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha, in this material world, yasya harer dasye, whoever in the service of the Lord, karmana manasa gira, by his word, by his thoughts and by his actions, fully engaged in devotional service, nikhila shvapi avasthasu, forget about after leaving, even in this particular body, jivan mukta sa uchyate. Such a person is in Vrindavan, is in Golok Vrindavan. It's only when that question of time, when this body falls or the Brahma's body falls and he will go. But it's a question of, Vrindavan is also not just a place alone, it's also a state of consciousness. And anyone who has achieved that is actually in the spiritual world. So it's a question of, because of Krishna's desire being here and execute his will, or because of his desire being there with him and performing, reciprocation with him or reciprocating with him there in the spiritual world. For us it makes a difference, but for an eternally liberated soul, this doesn't make a difference. That's how I can accommodate this both. Hare Krishna.
This question is for Radhesham Prabhu. Just a small tip, some of the questions are worthy enough of a PhD thesis. I don't think they can be answered here, and some questions are meant to test the person's knowledge rather than... We need a chair here, small chair. So we have many questions, we have less time. I have to do this unenviable job of trying to sift through questions relating to Govardhan Leela, pastimes, or the Dham. Some very intricate, detailed, Shastric questions, which are more of information oriented, we can skip or we can have some time later. So this question is for Radhesham Prabhu. Kindly let us know what it means that Krishna is the center of all activities in the spiritual world. Does it mean that I am just constantly thinking of Krishna?
The spiritual world? Hare Krishna. See, we are sitting so close to Govardhan. We are extremely fortunate to be a part of this yatra guided by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. Sitting at His lotus feet and hearing this wonderful pastime of Govardhan the other day, and also coming with a group of such big number of Vaishnavas. The answer to this question is given in this Leela. When Lord Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, He taught different people different things. He taught some lessons to His pure devotees. He taught some lessons to the people of the world. He taught some lessons to Indra also. Like you see, when He lifted the Govardhan hill, just prior to that, He taught His pure devotees in Vrindavan, don't surrender to demigods. Surrender only to Me. Don't surrender to anyone else. Sometimes even Hare Krishna devotees have a question, can you use some Neelamani or some kind of, you know, things to control the Rahu Ketu looking at us. So can we change the influence of Navagrahas on us? One man went to a guru and asked, Guruji, is it all right if I go to demigods for chota mota things, small things, and I'll come to Krishna for pure devotional service? So people, even after becoming devotees, they have such doubts. Actually, Krishna wanted to teach His own Vrindavan devotees, surrender only to Me. Don't surrender to anyone else. And then Krishna wanted to teach the common people by a demonstration. It's a silent demonstration. Krishna doesn't speak a single word. By lifting the Govardhan hill, Krishna is teaching the whole world, just see how wonderful it is when you make Myself the center of your life. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, all the cows and calves and covered boys, covered girls and covered men, everybody took shelter of the Govardhan, and they were sheltered from the wrath of Indra as well as the heavy rains, thunderbolts, lightning, everything. So Krishna wanted to show the world, by accepting Krishna as the center of one's life, one will get shelter from all dangers, from all difficulties, from all problems. And Krishna didn't speak a word. Simply by doing this, He demonstrated to the whole world. And such a demonstration is far superior to a long-wounded discussion. So He is inviting everybody in the world to come and take His shelter. Same thing He is teaching. He taught the pure devotees, take only My shelter. He taught the people of the world, take My shelter. Then He also taught Indra four lessons. He told Indra, my dear Indra, there is no authority equal to Me or superior to Me. And there are no demigods who are equal to Me or superior to Me. I am the supreme authority, number one. Secondly, He said, I can chastise or favor anyone as I like. Nobody can question Me. Thirdly, He taught Indra that it is only by My favor that one is bestowed with all material opulences in this world, such as bodily beauty or wealth or power or position or name and fame and everything. It's only by My favor. Fourthly, He said, if I find someone forgetful of Me by dint of false pride, I take away all the opulences. to remind him that I am his boss, I am his superior. So all the four lessons Krishna taught to Indra, they mean only one thing. Krishna is the center. Krishna is the center of the whole universe. So in this way, Krishna is teaching Indra, Krishna is teaching his pure devotees, Vajabhasis, Krishna is teaching all the people of the world. Actually, keeping Krishna at the center is not only an intellectual acceptance, it is also accepting Krishna with heart. Because all the Vrijavasis did not accept Krishna as the center because Krishna happened to be the Supreme Lord. They accepted Krishna as the center of their lives because they loved him. So Prabhupada says, love is superior to even knowledge of Krishna. Knowledge of Krishna's supremacy. Beyond that is pure love. So when all the residents of the spiritual sky, they accept Krishna as the center means, in English there is a phrase we say, the apple of our eye. Like Yashoda Rani is calling, Yashoda Maya is calling Krishna. Naino Ketara Govinda Bolore. So Naino Ketara is actually apple of the eye. So Krishna is the apple of eye of everybody in the spiritual world. That's the meaning of Krishna being the center. Hare Krishna.
This question is for Govind Prabhu. I heard from one devotee that Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka is different from Krishna in Vrindavan. It is Vrindavan Krishna who never leaves Vrindavan. And Vasudev Krishna who goes to Dwarka and Mathura and performs pastimes there. The question is, how Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura remembers Vrindavan residents? If he is different, what is the correct understanding?
Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that some people feel that Krishna Vrindavan, Krishna Mathura, Krishna Kurukshetra, they are different personality. But actually the same personality. Then how is that we read in the scriptures, especially in the Gaudiya literature, that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. In bhava expansion, in his bhava, in his consciousness, he always carries Vrindavan wherever he goes. And Brijbasis never give up Krishna, even if he leaves Vrindavan on a physical platform. So therefore, from the historical perspective, certainly Krishna left Vrindavan. But from the bhava perspective, he does not live. So when our acharyas explain that Krishna or Vrindavan, Krishna Mathura are different, Krishna Vrindavan establishes prema, Krishna Mathura, he establishes the external reason, paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam. So in that perspective, they are different. From the perspective of rasa, they are different. From the perspective of history, the pastimes of the Lord, he is the same personality. One has to understand it very clearly. Otherwise, we will argue with outsiders. Vrindavan ka Krishna alag hai aur Mathura ka alag hai. Then we are misunderstanding it. The reality is, they are one and the same. But they are also different because the mood is different. Like Prabhupada explained in one letter to Satsurup Maharaj. He says, Chaitanya Charitamrita has a different mood. Bhagavat has a different mood. Ramayana has a different mood. And one should not overlap these moods. One should retain this mood according to what mood the Lord is accepting. It's a very clear and very simple understanding. So they are one, they are the same, but they are different from the rasa and bhava perspective.
Hare Krishna. Two similar questions, so I am putting them together. For Radha Gopinath Prabhu, how do you define attentive chanting? What should the... First is, how do you define attentive chanting? What should the mind do or think while chanting? And can the mind think of Lord's form or pastimes while chanting?
Hare Krishna. I was just rethinking about the previous question about Haridas Thakur went to spiritual world and Brahma went to. I think the simplest answer is because Haridas completely surrendered to Krishna, he went wherever Krishna wanted him to. I hope that answers. And if you want to know more details, you should ask Krishna. Regarding attentive chanting, basically, when a person is in attention or doing something very attentively, he is focused on what he is doing and why he is doing what he is doing. And therefore, if we are focused on what is the purpose of my chanting and how I should be doing it, and if he is doing it, then that is attentive to the best of his ability. Again, what, why and how? What is the holy name? Atha Sri Krishna Namadi na bhave. Sri Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's actually Abhinnatvat Nama Namin. When you are inviting Krishna, when you are chanting, actually Krishna is coming and dancing on your tongue. It's like Kaliya Leela, just dancing on your tongue. Therefore all poison comes out, first installment. So, why are we chanting? Harinamaiva kevalam kalau nastiva gatiranyata. And how should we be chanting? Trinadapi suni chena tarorivasa. So if you are knowing what is this holy name, why we are chanting, how we should be chanting, and if you are trying to do our best in that, then that is attentive chanting. What should the mind do? What it is supposed to do? Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyamyaitam atmanayo vasham nayat. Withdraw from where it is. Ananya shouldn't be anywhere else, but focused on why are we chanting, how we should be chanting. That's all. That is there. Rest, whatever happens, up to Krishna. You do your best and leave the rest to Krishna. He will do the needful. He won't fail. We may fail in our job. His part of the contract, he will never fail. We should try to do our best. Hare Krishna. Should we think of Krishna's pastimes while chanting? Generally, on a material platform, when we try to think of his pastime, our mind may kind of divert. You think Krishna is standing and, you know, is wearing a nice yellow dhoti. Suddenly you think, what about my dhoti? Is it dried or not? I think the other fellow took it and maybe I should get it stitched. The border should be stitched. It takes so much time to tell, but the mind can go anywhere. Because we are not on that platform, basically, at this level, trying to impose some, on a material level, some kind of pastime as we understand it, better the Naam reveals the Rupa, Guna and Leela. When it automatically happens, then it is okay. And that is a very advanced stage. For the time being, I think we should only be hearing. Hare Krishna.
There's a question for Radhishyam Prabhu. He also would like to comment on this question. So after that, we see in Vrindavan most of the temples. We see in Vrindavan most of the temples, the deities have been moved to other places like Jaipur for fear of Muslim kings. Does this break the all-powerful nature of God or the deity?
I can answer that question about chanting. Prabhupada says, in one of his purports that one who is pure in mind can chant attentively, he says. And then he says, one who is pure in habits can become pure in mind. And then he says, who is one who is pure in habits? Those habits are eating, sleeping and mating, he says. So, mind is very difficult to control, but habits are more easy to control. Just like when a fan is rotating, imagine putting a stool, climbing on the top and holding the fan to stop it from rotating. It's difficult. But if you switch off the fan, then the fan stops. Similarly, habits are more easy to control than the mind. So real intelligence is to regulate our habits. By regulating our habits, the mind can be controlled. When mind is controlled, then chanting can be more attentive. So this is one solution to attentive chanting. Another thing about attentive chanting is, whatever is anukul for attentively hearing, like early morning, Brahma Muhurtam time, the chanting should be done. There has to be an endeavor from our side to hear the sound Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, it is not it's not something that is completed without endeavor from our side. There is certainly endeavor to pay attention. Some amount of energy is consumed in paying attention to the words in the beginning stages of chanting. But anyone who attentively hears the holy name, the result of that is the rupa of the Lord is revealed. And then Naam reveals the rupam, rupam reveals the guna, and the guna gradually reveals the leelas. So this is actually like an unfolding of a lotus flower, blossoming of a lotus flower gradually when one chants the holy name. And what is the proof that this kind of unfolding is taking place? Just like a mother is attached to a child, when she is attached to the child, even in the absence of the child, the mother remembers the child. And the mother also delights in dressing the child with various dresses and different type of hairstyles, sometimes with rubber bands, sometimes different type of... she is delighting in decorating the child. Similarly, a devotee's delight will become pleasing Krishna and not in pleasing one's own senses. In this way, gradually everything will be revealed. But one has to attentively make an effort to hear the holy name, and that attentiveness is increased by pure habits. Coming to this question about the deities, the deity form of the Lord, why is he appearing in this world? That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupam Bhagavata Tuyetat Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam Abhishkratam Natat Bhaktanam Kimanjat Anukampitam. The Lord is appearing in this world in a very merciful form of archa, vigraha, for receiving the services of his loving devotees, not for proclaiming his supremacy. When there is a deity form, you can circumambulate, you can dress him, you can feed him, you can bow down to him, you can ornament him, you can take his darshan. And in this way, Lord is making himself available. But he doesn't make himself available to kill the demons as he does when he comes as avataras. He doesn't do that. So sometimes one group of religious people who entered into India, they would break down the temples and they would sometimes desecrate the deities also sometimes. In Srila Prabhupada's times in Calcutta, there was a Hindu-Muslim fight, terrible fight, and Prabhupada with his own eyes he saw that Muslims would go to Hindu temples and destroy the Gopuram and deities and everything. And then Hindus would go to mosques and they would destroy the mosques. And there would be hundreds and thousands of dead bodies lying on the roadside. And lorries would come and put them all, stack them and take them. Prabhupada says, at that time there was no difference between Hindu and Muslim because they were all dead bodies. So Prabhupada says, this this kind of fight is due to sectarian sectarianism. But if somebody does like that, then a question may arise in the mind of a devotee. If Lord is all powerful, why he could not defend himself? Or why should devotees bring Gopal from the top of the Govardhan because of fear of some Turkey soldiers? Turkish soldiers is bringing him down and then taking him up. Our Lord has to run to Karoli or Jaipur or anywhere. You see, the Lord also gives opportunity for his devotees to cultivate feelings for him. In Mayapur, when Radha Madhav was at threat, you know, His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Maharaj, now he has a lame leg. He wanted to protect the deities, so he was willing to be shot in the legs. So today when you see him offering obeisances, getting up, immediately remember the incident, how he exhibited his love for the Lord, made an effort to protect the Lord. Similarly, the Vaishnava Bhaktas, they try to protect the temples, they try to protect the deities. In South India, if you go, there are stone deities over which they have put some cement and they have put color. So sometimes Muslims would come and desecrate the deities, only cracking the cement, thinking that we have desecrated and they will be gone. So they would remove all that and again make another one. So they protected the Lord in various ways. But imagine if you have a clock, you break the stick of the clock in the morning because it is ringing at 4 o'clock. That doesn't mean time is going to stop. Similarly, the Lord is, in Tamil we used to sing a song. Devam yendral adu devam, silai yendral adu silaidan. You know what is the meaning of this? If one sees the Lord as deity, he will behave as deity. If one sees Lord as a stone, he will behave like a stone. You can see the deity with jada buddhi, jada maya, manomaya, chinmaya in three stages. In Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, people who think I am this jada sharir, they see the deities also as jada. And those people who are in manomaya stage can see the form of the deity even when eyes are closed. In their mind they can see out of love for him. And those who are spiritually awakened, they see the Lord as spiritual. Chinmaya sharir, divya sharir. For them the Lord will speak to them. But for those who try to harm him, the Lord will appear like jada only for them. And he reciprocates with different people differently. So sometimes the Lord gives opportunity for the devotees to take him from one city to another place, increases the anxiety of devotees and increases the love, accelerates the love for him. Sometimes the deities are uncared for. The Lord goes underground. He lives for thousands of years underground. And later on, when a pure devotee like Madhavendra Puri comes, Lord says, I want to come out now. Please take me out and you worship me. Which clearly shows one thing. Only when there is love in the heart of a devotee, Lord wants worship from such a devotee, like Srila Prabhupada and all the followers of Prabhupada. Otherwise, the Lord goes underground and remains in a dormant state. And even if somebody may externally harm the murti form of the Lord, which is made of one of the eight material elements, that doesn't deny the supremacy of the Lord, because the Lord always remains the ever supreme. And those who do such things to the deities out of some religious sectarianism, they will surely be punished. It's considered a very great offense. Even those, like I heard in the Jagannath Puri temple, not Jagannath Puri, in Mayapur, Jagannath temple, there was one lady who came to the temple and showed her feet to the Lord, even after being told several times. So subsequently she got a very high fever, and some punishment comes by deliberately misbehaving with deities. What to speak of those who try to harm the deities or harm the devotees of the Lord? So surely they will be punished. It's only a matter of time. But those who have faith that Lord has come in this world to accept my service, For them, the Lord is available as the Lord Himself. Yeah.
This is for Govind Prabhu. Why are cows given so much extra importance?
Next question is yours.
I already made the questions according to you take your expertise. And I have yet to find one which suits my intelligence level. So be patient.
You people are not asking question of his status or his level.
Means the questions are of very
only
high
the three
IQ
of
level.
Us are.
Anyway, at least let this lot be over. So why are cows given so much extra importance? We know that cows that Krishna had in Vrindavan were pure devotees. The cows here in this world are conditioned souls trapped in cow species. Do we see Lord Chaitanya and other acharyas emphasize cow worship and protection as Vaishnavas?
I don't want to ask who was asking this question.
Stand up on the bench.
You can meet us afterwards. One of the greatest prayer Mahaprabhu offered is Go Brahmane. What is that? Go Brahmane Hitaya Cha. Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. You know, to say that these cows are conditioned soul and Krishna's cows are pure devotees, it's a pure escapism to avoid the responsibility. Therefore, we see when we were talking in the previous question, Krishna Vrindavan and Krishna of Mathura, that Krishna Vrindavan established prema, but how long? Only for 10 to 12 years. And it was created such an impact, still we discuss about it. But after that, Krishna, nobody can experience greater separation from the Lord than the Lord. Now, Krishna experienced greatest separation from Vrindavan and the gopis. But it has some duty to perform. He had to kill some demons, establish dharma. So since we are devotees of Krishna, we also have certain responsibilities. So when we escape certain responsibility in the name of spiritual life, then you end up nowhere. When we talk about tadiya, serving Krishna means serving anything which is very dear to Krishna. So cows are very dear to Krishna, whether nowhere Krishna mentions, only the pure devotee's cow you have to serve. Any cows. And therefore Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram system. And in the first canto, in the seventh canto, in so many places it talks about cow protection, cow protection, cow protection. And to raise this question, did our pure devotee acharya serve the cows? That means we think we are pure devotees. So that we can avoid serving the cows. If you see any temples, you know, that cow protection is really dear to Krishna. And if we can, by some means, we can render service to cows also, then, you know, it is very pleasing to Lord and His devotees also. Therefore, Prabhupada established so many centers in America, wanting to start cow protection in America. Now you may say, "Are only pure devotees cow we want to serve?" He made devotees serve American cows also, and he glorified those cows also. He said, "The Kaliya, first cow." When devotees drank that milk, when they served that milk to Prabhupada, he was very happy. So therefore, we cannot escape our responsibility. Vrindavan can only be achieved when you have your Kurukshetra fought very well. When your Mahabharata is dealt very well. We can't avoid that. Only Vrindavan, staying in Radhakund, staying on the hills of Govardhan, under the foot of Govardhan hill, it was meant for the cheap people or for the very advanced people. If you are not advanced and if you are trying to do that, that shows there is no substance. So therefore, cow protection is one of our sadhana. And however, whether directly, indirectly, if you are staying in the city, if you cannot, at least use cow products. You know, ISKCON Chowpatty, ISKCON Vrindavan, ISKCON Belgaum, eventually ISKCON Punal also will produce cow products. So please utilize them and try to serve cows like that. Hare Krishna.
I'll answer this question. The question is it okay to take dust or water from different kunds from here? Yes, it is. Provided you do it reverentially.
Hariho, I think I will select questions for you.
I'll clarify. Well, the question just says it is okay to take dust or water. So, from one point of view, what we see is through our material vision, like there's a kund with water which may not look pure, or dust which may not really appeal. So, the idea is to see Vrindavan through the eyes of scripture. Srila Prabhupada explains, Shruta Ikshita, that's the technique. Shruta is by hearing and Ikshita is to see. So we may see Radha Kund, we may see Naval Kund, Apsara Kund, Surabhi Kund. So we should understand that we are seeing and simultaneously not seeing. Maharaj explained about how a person offered pranam in the dham to the dust of the dham in the presence of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and then he saw that his nice clothes were soiled. So at one level you want the mercy that a speck of dust in Vrindavan can easily take away all anarthas, can give you pure Krishna prem. So we want that, and therefore we offer pranam. And suddenly we come to our material vision, where we understand that my nice clothes are now actually spoiled by this dust. So when this person decided to clean, Gaur Kishore Babaji explained to him that this dust is so rare, it is even Vaikuntha Vasis cannot achieve Goloka dust, and you are just brushing it off. And he looked at the sweepers who were cleaning and he said, they are more fortunate. So therefore it takes some time, and we should allow that time. We have been allowed in this dham not because of a particular qualification, but because Prabhupada's mercy. So when we reciprocate with the mercy by doing things in a very cautious, guarded way, that is the right way to take dust or water from different kunds. This question is for Radhesham Prabhu. Sri Krishna is Atmaram, self-satisfied. So what difference does it make for Krishna if one soul doesn't return back to him? There are already self-realized and totally committed devotees like Radharani, Balramji, Nanda, Yashoda. They are there for his service. Yes, we do accept that from the point of the jiva, it will make a great difference because he is part of Krishna. But the questioner wants to understand, how do we understand this from the point of view of Krishna himself?
Hare Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te te shuchapyaham. So in these two lines, Krishna talks about how he doesn't need anybody's favor. Nobody is his friend, nobody is his enemy, everybody is equal to him. He is super soul in the heart of everybody. So when one hears such a kind of description about God, it doesn't fascinate you to fall in love with Him. You feel, oh, he's a neutral person. Yetama prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham. As much as I go to Him, that much only He will reciprocate. It doesn't fascinate our hearts. But in the second line, Krishna says, E bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. He says that, but those who are my bhaktas, He says that I especially favor them. Like that Krishna very clearly says. So, Krishna has two aspects. He has one aspect where He acts as a super soul. But when He acts as Bhagavan, He is always carrying His devotee in His own heart. Sadhavo hridayam mahiyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatte na jananti nahamte bhyo managapi. Hey Durvasa, my devotee always resides in my heart and I reside in the heart of my devotee. My devotees do not know anything other than me and I do not know anything other than them. He says, mayi nirbaddha hridaya sarvatra samadarshanaha vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya sastriya satpatim yata. Oh my dear Dhruvas, my devotees are like a chaste wife who have brought me under their control by their love. Like Prabhupada says, a chaste wife, a gentle husband is completely brought under control by a chaste wife. Similarly, pure devotees are so chaste in pinpointed love and service to Krishna that Krishna becomes purchased by that love. So these verses are there in the scriptures. Now here was an interesting question that Krishna has Srimati Radharani and so many other associates. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1 purport, Prabhupada says, sometimes a husband and wife are sitting in a jula and husband is enjoying swinging with his wife. But when the small baby crawls and comes forward and takes a lump of prasad in the hand and shows to father, although the father is in the grip of the consort, I mean not consort, what do you call, wife, the man is in the wife is embracing him, he may leave his wife and go to the child, please give me. Similarly, Lord Narayana loves Lakshmi undoubtedly, but when a living entity renders some devotion service, Lord even forgets Lakshmi to go to receive the devotion service of the devotee. Like that, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. The lover, even in the grip of a beloved, will remove himself and go to a baby. Like that he says. So we are all like babies only. Our prayer to Krishna is like a baby's talk. Still, if it is done sincerely, the Lord will be attracted to that. And then in one purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord in the spiritual world is hankering to have all the living beings back to His abode. Because only when you increase the number of devotees in the spiritual world, the Lord's happiness also will be increased. In that sense, the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement, they all become very dear to Lord because they are increasing the number of devotees of the Lord in the spiritual world, like the Prabhupada says. So, in these explanations, it's very clear that Lord is very much wanting to meet His devotees. The Gopakumar, when he entered into spiritual sky, you know, Krishna came running to him, leaving behind all his covered boys and cows and calves to go and meet that one Gopakumar, to embrace him and take him back into the circle of his other devotees. So we may think Krishna has thousands and millions of devotees. What difference is it going to make for him? Just like one, just one insignificant person. But we happen to be Krishna's part and parcel. With one last comment, I will conclude this answer to this question. All of you think for a moment, in this world around us, everybody is busy. Running. People are busy running with their suitcases because they are concerned about money. People are running here, running there to achieve success in their own individual lives. Truly speaking, in this world, nobody is interested in us. Everybody is interested in their own selfish agenda, ambitions. But there is only one person who is interested in us. And Krishna says, Surdam Sarvabhutana. I am the, so Hrit, Hrit means heart. Krishna is our heart-to-heart friend. He is the only one concerned about us. And those people who connect us to Krishna, they are also called by the same name. Titikshava, Karunika, Suhrida, Sarvadehina. So, why our pure devotees are interested in all the living beings? They want to connect them to Krishna also back. So, it's very important as practicing devotees for us to know the oceanic love that Krishna has for us. His Karuna Sindhu, His Dina Bandhu, His Jagatpati. These qualities of Krishna are very important. One should never even dream that Krishna is neutral or Krishna is uninterested in me. It's a wrong notion. The right understanding is given in the Shastras. That Krishna is all loving and He is very much eager to have His devotee back in His abode.
This question is for Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Prabhuji, I feel myself a hopeless case. Even after attending yatras, doing regular services in the temple, staying in the association of devotees, chanting regularly, mechanical only, in bracket, I have not seen much change in my consciousness, only externals have changed. The question is, what change does yatra will make on a person like me? What measures should I make becoming a devotee in... What major changes should I make in order to become a devotee in reality?
I thought I was the only case who thinks like that. I'm very happy to know misery loves company. What do? I keep coming for more yatras.
This is Govind Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs one devotee, he doesn't know the name, to go to Vrindavan and stay only for a few days and come back. In addition, do not talk much with Brajavasis. So such an instruction is valid for whom? For non-devotees only or for neophytes also?
Even Prabhupada didn't want to stay. He said, Maharaj was quoting, that Prabhupada said, when he wanted to travel, when he was sick, they said, you should not leave Vrindavan because it is better that you stay so that you can leave from Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, I don't have such sentiments. He said, I'm like a warrior. I would like to leave my body on the battlefield. And he said, if I die in New York, he said, since there is no place in New York, you can make a samadhi on the 11th floor of our ISKCON temple. No? He said like that. And he writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this instruction was given to Jagadanand Pandit by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Basically, one stays in Vrindavan only on the order of the spiritual master. If the order of the spiritual master is not there, and one forces oneself to stay in Vrindavan, then one cannot appreciate what Vrindavan is. It is very difficult. Our Acharya Raghunath Das Goswami also explains, I don't want to stay at Radhakund. I'll stay far away from Radhakund. Only when there is a service, I will come. When I'm called for service, I will come. So therefore, to feel that I'm qualified to stay in Vrindavan is the biggest disqualification. One has to stay where we all stay and then carry Vrindavan in our heart. Like they say, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Like that. And then whenever our varishtas, our gurus, they take us to the holy land, then we come for a few days and then we carry Vrindavan in our heart. You can carry dust of Vrindavan, you can carry water of Vrindavan, but do not keep plastic here. I think that we should take away first, so that we can render some service to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
There is an addenda to this query about dust and water. This note says, actually the question was, is it okay to take dust and water of different kundas back to our respective places? This happened during our visit to Gatholi Gram. Gatholi is just This is the Dhanghati road. If you go on your left, then you have that small village where wonderful pastimes took place between Radha and Krishna, where Lalita Devi, she tied the uttariya of Krishna with the sari of Radharani. Gaant, knot. That is also the place where Gopalji, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he wanted to take darshan of Gopalji, but Lord Chaitanya was the one who refused to put his foot on Govardhan. Previously, people used to go worship. Gopalji was found there. So following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, in the role of a devotee, Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not put, and after that, other Vaishnavas also do not step on Govardhan. In fact, the place where we are going for our Abhishek and offering, there is a note in Hindi that this Govardhan is non-different than Krishna. Please be careful about how you behave with Govardhan. And if someone decides to walk on it, we do not guarantee how other Krishna devotees will behave with you. It is written over there. So in that Ghatuli Gram, our group was just about to choose a particular place for Katha. And many devotees were looking for a nice clean stone where you can sit so that the clothes don't get soiled. And then somebody said, why not sit in Braja dust? And there was a household, they had a courtyard. So an elderly man was sitting, they had some meeting going on. So I approached them and said, we are from the city, we don't have any qualification, but we want to sit in Braja dust. So he said, sit, no problem. I said, we are not just here for sitting, we also want to carry some with us. So he says, take as much as you want. So at least this was my first interaction. We don't need to teach Brijvasis how this dust is important, or like many years ago I had heard in Barsana that Mukti Devi had come to Krishna and said, everybody piles their problems on me, I have to take everybody's burden of sins. Who will liberate me? And she was thinking that Mukti Devi, she has a big job liberating so many souls. So she was told, you don't need to do any particular vrata, any particular anushtan, any particular chanting of japa. Just go and roll in the dust of Braj. She was also astonished. Is it so that just by rolling in the dust, I can be freed from my burden? So the Brajvasis were telling, this is the reason why that Krishna ate this dirt. He was curious as to what exactly is this, what does it contain? So the Brajvasis say, A Rajne Mukti ki Mukti Karadi. This dust liberated Mukti Devi from her own problems. So when we come and we can treat this dirt as ordinary dirt, that becomes a transgression. So if you take a little bit reverentially, keep it in a prominent place in your household or in your room, wherever, then it shows that you are actually carefully, you are understanding the importance of it. Just like you don't have currency notes or gold chains lying down anywhere in your room. So that danger is there that after some time we may not properly respect it. So little kunda water, little dust, if it is kept in a proper worshipable place, if it is given that worship, then it is good, it is appropriate. Question for Radhesham Prabhu. It is said that morning chanting is more beneficial than any other time. But when I chant in the morning session, I feel sleepy and not able to concentrate. But when I chant in the evening, I can concentrate very nicely on Krishna. Kindly let me know which time I should practice.
Hare Krishna. Actually, morning chanting becomes difficult because of not having enough sleep at night. Many devotees sleep at 11 o'clock and get up very early, and we feel very sleepy in the morning. Then we feel that if I am well rested in the evening, I feel better. But actually in morning chanting is very powerful if one has had sound sleep. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave 8 steps for effective chanting that is listed in the book Nectar and Ocean of the Holy Name by His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj. In that book it's given. So one of those steps says that night one should sleep early and be well rested, sound sleep. The next day morning chanting will be very effective. Also, I wanted to say a word about the question that was asked to Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Radha Gopinath Prabhu took a very humble stand and said that, you know, misery loves company and all that. But I wanted to give a practical answer to that question, which I read in the book Bhakti Bhav by His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj. In his book, he gives an answer to this question. When people go to yatra for the first time, people go for some sightseeing. I'm not talking about devotees. People who come to dham or any holy place. Generally, people go to different dhams, holy places for sightseeing, generally speaking. Then as one becomes a neophyte devotee, newly come to the movement, they go for yatra, people go for relief. Relief from the samsara, dava, nalalida, loka. People think outside world is full of hard work and outside life is full of misery. So go to the dham for a few days, 10, 15 days in the company of devotees, chant, dance and have some relief. So, and after one or two yatras, when people go, now they start actually looking the different places. But then they look with a skeptical eye. Like we went to this Nandagam. So one student was asking, Prabhuji, is this really the vocal in which Mother Yashoda was, you know, binding Krishna? Is it the same or they have made something recently? Is it the same place? So people sometimes ask skeptical questions about many places when they go, why this happened? Is it really true? Is it really footprint of Krishna? Or it's speculated by somebody? So initially they come for relief. Subsequently they look at things with some skeptical eye, and some more years pass. But actually, advancement in spiritual life will come when we translate the theory into practical application. Whatever we have been hearing from the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, so we often talk about LCD formula. Learn, commit, do. First learn the things, and then we have to commit ourselves to do something in spiritual life. We have to sutraize our learnings into formula, what all things we want to apply, and then we commit ourselves and then do something practically. For example, if my faith level is very low in whatever I am hearing, that means I don't have enough sukriti. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam tedbandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam dridavrataha. Krishna says 2 things here. Antagatam papam. Probably my sinful reactions have not ended. Lot of sins are stalked by me. Also he says jananam punyakarmanam. What is a punyakarmanam? Shrinvatam sokata krishna punya shravana kirtanaha. I have not heard enough, I have not contemplated enough about Krishna. So, these 2 things I have to do. Whenever my faith level is very low, I can immediately understand, I am a great papi. I have committed a lot of sinful activities in the past, which are not giving me enough faith in Krishna. So, we can make ourselves humble and pray, please Krishna, help me to get rid of the stock of sins which are actually putting a stumbling block in developing faith in you. And also increase our bhaktionmukha sukriti. 64 angas are given by Rupa Goswami. Every day, take charanamrit, bow down to the deities, dance in front of the deities, sing the holy name, circumambulate the Govardhan, all these different devotional activities. Every time I do a devotional activity, I can know for sure my sukriti is increasing. I am becoming a spiritual millionaire. Wow, that much faith we should have, at least. And when sukriti goes to a ripe stage, suddenly there will be awakening. And in the Bhakti Bhava book, Maharaj writes, he says, every one of the devotees sitting here will have at least occasional experiences of this bhakti springing in their hearts for a short period of time. Like for example, one time I was in this Ambala Ratayatra. For the first time I saw His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj was singing. Loud kirtan for the holy name and surrounded by 6 mridangas, you know, all playing mridangam very loudly. And that was one of the first Ratayatras I got to attend. So when I went there in that zone of kirtan, it was so vibrant. Everybody was jumping high and dancing and singing. I was transported to another world practically. So some amount of bhakti bhava we will experience in special occasions in our life. When you see a darshan, or when you hear a particular katha, or when you chant on a particular day, some day the chanting is very powerful, another day the chanting is very dull. So those small droplets of bhakti that Krishna is giving us, so that we will not leave and go away. Otherwise, we won't be sitting here today. So many devotees are sitting here today because some little experience Krishna has given us. But we want to increase that period of experience of bhakti. How can it happen? We have to certainly look into the offenses that we are committing. We have to avoid the offenses. And we have to also increase the bhakti on mukha sukriti. We have to increase our account of bhakti, which is very less. And as we increase, then by this, the faith will increase. Then we will have the Premanjana Charita, eyes of faith, eyes of love, with which we can see things with proper faith. And then we can relish bhakti, appreciate bhakti. And then we can grow in our bhakti more and more. Hare Krishna.
This question is for Govind Prabhu. Why is the jiva made so helpless that he cannot do anything without the help of the Supreme Lord in the material world? Is it true in the spiritual world also?
Hare Krishna. Actually, helplessness is the faculty of the consciousness, that we feel helpless. But if we act helpless, that is pure laziness. Now, if you see, Krishna has provided so much of resources for us to contribute so much. In fact, Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Gita that when the living entity cooperates with the Supreme Lord, cooperation means what? That means living entity also has something to contribute. Of course, we know that is also coming from Krishna, but Krishna has given it and he doesn't control all the time. Hey, maine diya yaad rakh, hey, maine diya yaad rakh. He has given it us. And it is our responsibility whether we use it rightly or we abuse it. This material world also, many times we call it miserable. But are we really miserable from that perspective? We are able to breathe. We are able to walk. We are able to talk. We are able to eat prasad. You know, sometimes we see some people, those who have breathing problem, that they get choked up. You know, they almost get choked and die. But most people are not like that. You see sometimes blind people. But we have eyes. Most people have eyes. Most people can walk. So even though it's a prison house, but so much of resources Krishna has provided here. So therefore, helplessness is a sign of a humble consciousness of a devotee. After rendering so much service to Krishna, he still does not want to take credit. So feeling helplessness is the faculty of the consciousness and the heart. But not acting. You know, therefore, Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, we discussed in the Madhuban, that Mam Anusmara Yuddhacha, remembrance and performance of our duty. This combination will give us Krishna. Thinking that I am helpless and not acting, that will not bring Krishna to us. That is escapism and laziness. So therefore, it is a devotee, one who is very, very enterprising, hard-working, then he feels helpless. Why? Because he realizes how insignificant I am. But that only comes when he actually puts all his energies in Krishna's service. One time, Radhanand Maharaj was mentioning, only when we put our 100%, then Krishna's help starts coming. I put 0% and I said, Krishna, please help me. That means we make Krishna as our maid servant, Pukadka maid servant. No salary is required. Only when we put our 100%, then you are saying, then Krishna starts helping us. So therefore, helplessness is a very healthy sign for those devotees who are very active and anushilata, as Rupa Goswami explains. Then that experience of helplessness, it gives rise to remembrance of Krishna in a very spontaneous way. Hare Krishna.
This could be our last question for Radha Gopina Prabhu. We hear very exalted philosophy. Sometimes I feel, how shall I ever achieve such a state? So how to imbibe the exalted philosophy and lessons that we hear?
Before that, I would like to go back to the previous question that was asked to me about I feel not inspired, I'm coming, I'm chanting, everything. But what do I do? That is the reason why Rupa Goswami, in his Upadesha Amrita, the nectar of instruction, gives very systematically what one should do to increase. And one of the first few things that he says is utsahat, nishchayat and dhairya. Utsaha is enthusiasm and dhairya is patience. They seem to be contradictory. A enthusiastic person becomes restless and a patient person can become lazy. So in between is put nishchaya. You can only remain enthusiastic in spite of lack of feeling of advancement only when there is faith. Nishchaya, that I'm on the right path and I just need to be enthusiastic. And one can only be patient and not become a victim to a restlessness of the mind when there is patience and when there is faith. One time we were traveling, Prasamrit Maharaj was driving, it was 91-92, it was Devamrit Das at that time, driving full speed, and we were supposed to go to a program which was far away, little far away from Mumbai, outskirts, and it was a rainy day and we had to reach, and it was just about 10 minutes left and we had to go about 10 more kilometers, and it was heavy rains. And we came to a crossroad and there was no road signs, and we were at a loss which road to take because they were going in two different directions. 10 minutes left, heavy rain, slippery road, and 10 kilometers to go. And we have to reach on time. So we were wondering what to do, what to do. So ultimately we said, okay, it's not good to speculate, but still we will toss a coin. Heads will go left, tails will go right. Because there was no one. No one around to ask. And nothing. We had to do something to show Krishna we really want to do. So heads we got, and we took a left turn. And we went for almost like 2 kilometers, desperately looking for someone, some indication. And then we found one fellow, old man, sitting under a tree. And I went and told him. I asked this person, तुम्हाला माहिती आहे का कुठे आहे? आ, ही वॉज टोटली स्टोन डेफ. तो आय हॅड टू आस्क हिम 10 times, असं करा 2 किलोमीटर वापस जा तुम्ही. अँड बिफोर ही कुड से फर्दर, इमिडिएटली आय जम्प्ड इन टू अँड ही स्टार्टेड ड्रायव्हिंग, अँड देन ही वॉज ड्रायव्हिंग विथ सच स्पीड वी रिच्ड ऑन टाइम. He went back 2 kilometers and went 10 kilometers. So, why? He was very enthusiastic because he knew we are now on the right road. And even though we didn't see for quite some time, he was still patient. We know we are on the right road. We'll get it. Well, the place will come. So, when we have faith in the scriptures, Guru Sadhu Shastra, then be enthusiastic in spite of not experiencing very advanced state of consciousness is normal. We can just go on because we know we are on the right track. It's just a question of time. Or during parikrama also we find that. 5 kilometer, 5 kilometer. Chal hi raha hai. And also patient and not become restless. So in case you are feeling, because enthusiasm can also be a passionate mode of, you know, it can be in the mode of passion. And in the name of patience, you can become in the mode of ignorance, lazy. So if you are feeling lack of enthusiasm, associate with dynamic, enthusiastic young people who have a lot of faith. And if you are feeling too much restless and passionate, associate with some seniors who are very patient. So in this way we balance. Yeah. So we hear very exalted philosophy. Sometimes we feel that will I ever achieve such state? How to imbibe the exalted philosophy and lessons we hear? By reading Srila Prabhupada's purports. The Chaitanya Charitamrita puts our heads in the clouds, but Srila Prabhupada's purports put our feet on the ground. Like for example, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when they speak about Narada, he left this as soon as 5-year-old boy and mother died. He saw it as Krishna's arrangement and he started walking to the north. And he just walked and walked and walked. And some good situation came, passed through gold mine and silver mine. And he didn't settle down there, you know, and start a business. And he went through very rough terrains, very dangerous jungles. He didn't get disturbed. So some good days came, some bad days came, some good situation came, some bad situation came. But because he was focused on the goal, therefore none of these temptations and distractions or the obstacles ever could stop. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives, so Narada went like this, traveling all over. And a renunciate has to do, become fearless and travel all over, completely dependence on Krishna, experiencing new terrains, experiencing life in different countries, different places. That's a way of, you know, a sannyasi advances, dependence on Krishna. And then he says, but in this day and age, this is not possible. Therefore, one should actually, at a particular suitable time, retire and go to some holy places and take shelter of the 6 Goswamis' books and be absorbed there. So when we hear about very, very exalted kind of statements in philosophy, immediately go to the purport. Because the purport connects the same principle in a way that we can actually connect and relate. That is the purpose of the purports. The purports brings the ancient traditional spirit in a modern package, but in a very tangible and connected, related way. That is Srila Prabhupada's contribution in parampara. Otherwise, you know, Dhruva Maharaj did for 6 months. How does it make a difference to me? It's too scary because Bhagavatam gave extreme cases. So Dhruva Maharaj didn't breathe for 12 days, ate once in 9 days, dry leaves or something. So there is a tendency we may get discouraged. So in one lecture, one sannyasi made a very nice statement. Dhruva Maharaj stood up on one leg. At least we can stand up during japa if we feel sleepy. Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries, later only dry leaves, eventually water and just air. We can at least resolve to just taste only prasad and nothing else. So Dhruva Maharaj gradually intensified his absorption and focus. So that's what we are supposed to do. That is the spirit, that's the principle. There are extreme cases. They are given the Bhagavatam so that we don't become puffed up because of our paltry austerities. They are like Mahajans, they are like world record holders. So they are very quite exalted philosophy, but the purports in parampara, as I said, the shlokas take our heads in the cloud, but the purports put our feet on the ground to make it connect, relate to the world, in the world that we are living, in a way that we can apply it, in a way that we can actually move from where we are ahead in our progressive path back home, back to God. Hare Krishna.
From the murti form of the Lord, which is made of one of the 8 material elements, that doesn't deny the supremacy of the Lord, because the Lord always remains the ever supreme. And those who do such things to the deities out of some religious sectarianism, they will surely be punished. It's considered a very great offense. Even those, like I heard in the Jagannath Puri temple, not Jagannath Puri, in Mayapur, Jagannath temple, there was one lady who came to the temple and showed her feet to the Lord, even after being told several times. So subsequently she got a very high fever, and some punishment comes by deliberately misbehaving with deities. What to speak of those who try to harm the deities or harm the devotees of the Lord? So surely they will be punished. It's only a matter of time. But those who have faith that Lord has come in this world to accept my service, for them the Lord is available as the Lord Himself. Yeah.
This is for Govind Prabhu. Why are cows given so much extra importance?
Next question is yours.
I already made the questions according
to your
expertise. And I have yet to find one which suits my intelligence level. So be patient.
You people are not asking question of his status or his level.
Means the questions are of very
only
high.
Only the three
IQ
of
level.
Us are.
Anyway, at least let this lot be over. So why are cows given so much extra importance? We know that cows that Krishna had in Vrindavan were pure devotees. The cows here in this world are conditioned souls trapped in cow species. Do we see Lord Chaitanya and other acharyas emphasize cow worship and protection as Vaishnavas?
I don't want to ask who is asking this question.
Stand up on the bench.
You can meet us afterwards. One of the greatest prayer Mahaprabhu offered is Go Brahmane. What is that? Go Brahmane Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. You know, to say that these cows are conditioned soul and Krishna's cows are pure devotees, it's a pure escapism to avoid the responsibility. Therefore, we see when we were talking in the previous question, Krishna Vrindavan and Krishna of Mathura, that Krishna Vrindavan established prema, but how long? Only for 10 to 12 years. And it was created such an impact, still we discuss about it. But after that Krishna, nobody can experience greater separation from the Lord than the Lord. Now Krishna experienced greatest separation from Vrindavan and the gopis. But it has some duty to perform. He had to kill some demons, establish dharma. So since we are devotees of Krishna, we also have certain responsibilities. So when we escape certain responsibility in the name of spiritual life, then you end up nowhere. When we talk about tadiya, serving Krishna means serving anything which is very dear to Krishna. So cows are very dear to Krishna, whether nowhere Krishna mentions only the pure devotee's cow you have to serve. Any cows. And therefore Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram system. And in the first canto, in the seventh canto, in so many places it talks about cow protection, cow protection, cow protection. And to raise this question, did our pure devotee Acharya serve the cows? That means we think we are pure devotees, so that we can avoid serving the cows. If you see any temples, you know that cow protection is really dear to Krishna, and if we can by some means we can render service to cows also, then you know it is very pleasing to Lord and his devotees also. Therefore Prabhupada established so many centers in America, wanting to start cow protection in America. Now you may say, are only pure devotees cow we want to serve. He made devotees serve American cows also. And he glorified those cows also. He said the Kaliya, first cow. When devotees drank that milk, when they served that milk to Prabhupada, he was very happy. So therefore, we cannot escape our responsibility. Vrindavan can only be achieved when you have your Kurukshetra fought very well. When your Mahabharata is dealt very well. We can't avoid that. Only Vrindavan, staying in Radhakund, staying on the hills of Govardhan, under the foot of Govardhan hill, it was meant for the cheap people or for the very advanced people. If you are not advanced and if you are trying to do that, that shows there is no substance. So therefore cow protection is one of our sadhana. And however, whether directly or indirectly, if you are staying in the city, if you cannot, at least use cow products. You know, ISKCON Chaupati, ISKCON Vrindavan, ISKCON Belgaum, eventually ISKCON Punal also will produce cow products. So please utilize them and try to serve cows like that. Hare Krishna.
I'll answer this question. The question is it okay to take dust or water from different kunds from here? Yes, it is. Provided you do it reverentially.
Hariho, I think I will select questions for you.
I'll clarify. Well, the question just says it is okay to take dust or water. So, from one point of view, what we see is through our material vision, like there's a kund with water which may not look pure, or dust which may not really appeal. So the idea is to see Vrindavan through the eyes of scripture. Srila Prabhupada explains, Shruta Ikshita, that's the technique. Shruta is by hearing, and Ikshita is to see. So we may see Radha Kund, we may see Naval Kund, Apsara Kund, Surabhi Kund. So we should understand that we are seeing and simultaneously not seeing. Maharaj explained about how a person offered pranam in the dham, to the dust of the dham, in the presence of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and then he saw that his nice clothes were soiled. So at one level you want the mercy that a speck of dust in Vrindavan can easily take away all anarthas, can give you pure Krishna prem. So we want that, and therefore we offer pranam. And suddenly we come to our material vision, where we understand that my nice clothes are now actually spoiled by this dust. So when this person decided to clean, Gaur Kishore Babaji explained to him that this dust is so rare, it is even Vaikuntha Vasis cannot achieve Goloka dust, and you are just brushing it off. And he looked at the sweepers who were cleaning and he said, they are more fortunate. So therefore it takes some time, and we should allow that time. We have been allowed in this dham not because of a particular qualification, but because Prabhupada's mercy. So when we reciprocate with the mercy by doing things in a very cautious, guarded way, that is the right way to take dust or water from different kunds. This question is for Radhesham Prabhu. Sri Krishna is Atmaram, self-satisfied. So what difference does it make for Krishna if one soul doesn't return back to him? There are already self-realized and totally committed devotees like Radharani, Balramji, Nanda, Yashoda. They are there for his service. Yes, we do accept that from the point of the jiva, it will make a great difference because he is part of Krishna. But the questioner wants to understand, how do we understand this from the point of view of Krishna himself?
Hare Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te te shuchapyaham. So in these two lines, Krishna talks about how he doesn't need anybody's favor, nobody is his friend, nobody is his enemy, everybody is equal to him. He is super soul in the heart of everybody. So when one hears such a kind of description about God, it doesn't fascinate you to fall in love with him. You feel, oh, he's a neutral person. Yetama prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham. As much as I go to him, that much only he will reciprocate. It doesn't fascinate our hearts. But in the second line, Krishna says, E bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. He says that, but those who are my bhaktas, he says that I especially favor them. Like that Krishna very clearly says. So Krishna has two aspects. He has one aspect where he acts as a super soul. But when he acts as Bhagavan, he is always carrying his devotee in his own heart. Sadhavo hridayam mahiyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatte na jananti nahamte bhyo managapi. Hey Durvasa, my devotee always resides in my heart, and I reside in the heart of my devotee. My devotees do not know anything other than me, and I do not know anything other than them. He says, Mayi nirbaddha hridaya sarvatra samadarshanaha vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya sastriya satpatim yata. Oh, my dear Dhruvas, my devotees are like a chaste wife who have brought me under their control by their love. Like Prabhupada says, a chaste wife, a gentle husband is completely brought under control by a chaste wife. Similarly, pure devotees are so chaste, in pinpointed love and service to Krishna, that Krishna becomes purchased by that love. So these verses are there in the scriptures. Now here was an interesting question, that Krishna has Srimati Radharani and so many other associates. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1 purport, Prabhupada says, sometimes a husband and wife are sitting in a jhula, and husband is enjoying swinging with his wife, but when the small baby crawls and comes forward and takes a lump of prasad in the hand and shows to father, although the father is in the grip of the consort, I mean not consort, what do you call, wife, the man is in the, the wife is embracing him, he may leave his wife and go to the child, please give me. Similarly, Lord Narayana loves Lakshmi undoubtedly, but when a living entity renders some devotion service, Lord even forgets Lakshmi to go to receive the devotion service of the devotee. Like that, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Yeah, the lover, even in the grip of a beloved, will remove himself and go to a baby. Like that he says. So we are all like babies only. Our prayer to Krishna is like a baby's talk. Still, if it is done sincerely, the Lord will be attracted to that. And then in one purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord in the spiritual world is hankering to have all the living beings back to His abode. Because only when you increase the number of devotees in the spiritual world, the Lord's happiness also will be increased. In that sense, the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement, they all become very dear to Lord because they are increasing the number of devotees of the Lord in the spiritual world, like the Prabhupada says. So, in these explanations, it's very clear that Lord is very much wanting to meet His devotees. The Gopakumar, when he entered into spiritual sky, you know, Krishna came running to him, leaving behind all his covered boys and cows and calves to go and meet that one Gopakumar, to embrace him and take him back into the circle of his other devotees. So we may think Krishna has thousands and millions of devotees. What difference is it going to make for him? Just like one, me, just one insignificant person. But we happen to be Krishna's part and parcel. With one last comment, I will conclude this answer to this question. All of you think for a moment, in this world around us, everybody is busy. Running. People are busy running with their suitcases because they are concerned about money. People are running here, running there, to achieve success in their own individual lives. Truly speaking, in this world, nobody is interested in us. Everybody is interested in their own selfish agenda, ambitions. But there is only one person who is interested in us. And Krishna says, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the Suhrit. Hrit means heart. Krishna is our heart-to-heart friend. He is the only one concerned about us. And those people who connect us to Krishna, they are also called by the same name. Titikshava, Karunika, Suhrida, Sarvadehina. So, why our pure devotees are interested in all the living beings? They want to connect them to Krishna also back. So, it's very important as practicing devotees for us to know the oceanic love that Krishna has for us. His Karuna Sindhu, His Deena Bandhu, His Jagatpati. These qualities of Krishna are very important. One should never even dream that Krishna is neutral or Krishna is uninterested in me. It's a wrong notion. The right understanding is given in the Shastras, that Krishna is all-loving and He is very much eager to have His devotee back in His abode.
This question is for Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Prabhuji, I feel myself a hopeless case. Even after attending yatras, doing regular services at the temple, staying in the association of devotees, chanting regularly, mechanical only, in bracket, I have not seen much change in my consciousness, only externals have changed. The question is, what change does yatra will make on a person like me? What majors should I make becoming a devotee in? What major changes should I make in order to become a devotee in reality?
Uh,
I thought I was the only case who thinks like that. I'm very happy to know misery loves company. And what do? I keep coming for more yatras.
This is Govind Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs one devotee, he doesn't know the name, to go to Vrindavan and stay only for a few days and come back. In addition, do not talk much with Brajavasis. So such an instruction is valid for whom? For non-devotees only or for neophytes also?
Even Prabhupada didn't want to stay. He said, Maharaj was quoting, that Prabhupada said, when he wanted to travel, when he was sick, they said, you should not leave Vrindavan because it is better that you stay so that you can live from Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, I don't have such sentiments. He said, I'm like a warrior. I would like to leave my body on the battlefield. And he said, if I die in New York, he said, since there is no place in New York, you can make a samadhi on the 11th floor of our ISKCON temple. No? He said like that. And he writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this instruction was given to Jagadanand Pandit by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Basically, one stays in Vrindavan only on the order of the spiritual master. If the order of the spiritual master is not there, and one forces oneself to stay in Vrindavan, then one cannot appreciate what Vrindavan is. It is very difficult. Our Acharya Raghunath Das Goswami also explains, I don't want to stay at Radhakund. I'll stay far away from Radhakund. Only when there is a service, I will come. When I'm called for service, I will come. So therefore, to feel that I'm qualified to stay in Vrindavan is the biggest disqualification. One has to stay where we all stay and then carry Vrindavan in our heart. Like they say, no, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Like that. And then whenever our varishtas, our gurus, they take us to the holy land, then we come for a few days and then we carry Vrindavan in our heart. You can carry dust of Vrindavan, you can carry water of Vrindavan, but do not keep plastic here. I think that we should take away first so that we can render some service to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
There is an addenda to this query about dust and water. This note says, actually the question was, is it okay to take dust and water of different kundas back to our respective places? This happened during our visit to Ghatuli Gram. Ghatuli is just, this is the Dhanghati road. If you go on your left, then you have that small village where wonderful pastimes took place between Radha and Krishna, where Lalita Devi, she tied the uttariya of Krishna with the sari of Radharani, gaant, knot. That is also the place where Gopalji, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he wanted to take darshan of Gopalji, but Lord Chaitanya was the one who refused to put his foot on Govardhan. Previously, people used to go worship. Gopalji was found there. So following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, in the role of a devotee, Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not put, and after that, other Vaishnavas also do not step on Govardhan. In fact, the place where we are going for our Abhishek and offering, there is a note in Hindi that this Govardhan is non-different than Krishna. Please be careful about how you behave with Govardhan. And if someone decides to walk on it, we do not guarantee how other Krishna devotees will behave with you. It is written over there. So in that Ghatuli Gram, our group was just about to choose a particular place for Katha. And many devotees were looking for a nice clean stone where you can sit so that the clothes don't get soiled. And then somebody said, why not sit in Braja dust? And there was a household, they had a courtyard. So an elderly man was sitting there, had some meeting going on. So I approached him and said, we are from the city, we don't have any qualification, but we want to sit in Braja dust. So he said, sit, no problem. I said, we are not just here for sitting, we also want to carry some with us. So he says, take as much as you want. So at least this was my first interaction. We don't need to teach Brijavasis how this dust is important, or like many years ago I had heard in Barsana that Mukti Devi had come to Krishna and said, everybody piles their problems on me, I have to take everybody's burden of sins. Who will liberate me? And she was thinking that Mukti Devi, she has a big job liberating so many souls. So she was told, you don't need to do any particular vrata, any particular anushtan, any particular chanting of japa. Just go and roll in the dust of Braj. She also astonished. Is it so that just by rolling in the dust, I can be freed from my burden? So the Brajvasis were telling, this is the reason why that Krishna ate this dirt. He was curious as to what exactly is this, what does it contain? So the Brajvasis say, A Rajane Mukti ki Mukti Karadi. This dust liberated Mukti Devi from her own problems. So when we come and we can treat this dirt as ordinary dirt, that becomes a transgression. So if you take a little bit reverentially, keep it in a prominent place in your household or in your room, wherever, then it shows that you are actually carefully, you are understanding the importance of it. Just like you don't have currency notes or gold chains lying down anywhere in your room. So that danger is there, that after some time we may not properly respect it. So little kunda water, little dust, if it is kept in a proper worshipable place, if it is given that worship, then it is good, it is appropriate. Question for Radhesham Prabhu. It is said that morning chanting is more beneficial than any other time. But when I chant in the morning session, I feel sleepy and not able to concentrate. But when I chant in the evening, I can concentrate very nicely on Krishna. Kindly let me know which time I should practice.
Hare Krishna. Actually, morning chanting becomes difficult because of not having enough sleep at night. Many devotees sleep at 11 o'clock and get up very early, and we feel very sleepy in the morning. Then we feel that if I am well rested in the evening, I feel better. But actually, the morning chanting is very powerful if one has had sound sleep. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave 8 steps for effective chanting that is listed in the book Nectar and Ocean of the Holy Name by His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj. In that book it's given. So one of those steps says that night one should sleep early and be well rested, sound sleep. The next day morning chanting will be very effective. Also, I wanted to say a word about the question that was asked to Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Radha Gopinath Prabhu took a very humble stand and said that, you know, misery loves company and all that. But I wanted to give a practical answer to that question, which I read in the book Bhakti Bhav by His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj. In his book, he gives an answer to this question. When people go to yatra for the first time, people go for some sightseeing. I am not talking about devotees. People who come to dham or any holy place. Generally, people go to different dhams, holy places for sightseeing, generally speaking. Then as one becomes a neophyte devotee, newly come to the movement, they go for yatra, people go for relief. Relief from the samsara, dava, nalalida, loka. People think outside world is full of hard work and outside life is full of misery. So go to the dham for a few days, 10, 15 days in the company of devotees, chant, dance and have some relief. So, and after one or two yatras, when people go, now they start actually looking the different places. But then they look with a skeptical eye. Like we went to this Nandagaon, so one student was asking, Prabhuji, is this really the vocal in which Mother Yashoda was, you know, binding Krishna? Is it the same or they have made something recently? Is it the same place? So people sometimes ask skeptical questions about many places when they go, why this happened? Is it really true? Huh? Is it really footprint of Krishna? Or it's speculated by somebody? So initially they come for relief. Subsequently they look at things with some skeptical eye, and some more years pass. But actually, advancement in spiritual life will come when we translate the theory into practical application. Whatever we have been hearing from the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, so we often talk about LCD formula, learn, commit, do. First learn the things, and then we have to commit ourselves to do something in spiritual life. We have to sutraize our learnings into formula, what all things we want to apply, and then we commit ourselves and then do something practically. For example, if my faith level is very low in whatever I am hearing, that means I don't have enough sukriti. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. Krishna says two things here. Antagatam papam. Probably my sinful reactions have not ended. Lot of sins are stalked by me. Also he says, jananam punyakarmanam. What is the punyakarmanam? Srinvatam sokata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. I have not heard enough, I have not contemplated enough about Krishna. So these two things I have to do. Whenever my faith level is very low, I can immediately understand I am a great papi. I have committed a lot of sinful activities in the past, which are not giving me enough faith in Krishna. So we can make ourselves humble and pray, please Krishna, help me to get rid of the stock of sins which are actually putting a stumbling block in developing faith in you. And also increase our bhaktionmukha sukriti. 64 angas are given by Rupa Goswami. Every day, take charanamrit, bow down to the deities, dance in front of the deities, sing the holy name, circumambulate the Govardhan, all these different devotional activities. Every time I do a devotional activity, I can know for sure my sukriti is increasing. I am becoming a spiritual millionaire. Wow, that much faith we should have at least. And when sukriti goes to a ripe stage, suddenly there will be awakening. And in the Bhakti Bhava book, Maharaj writes, he says, every one of the devotees sitting here will have at least occasional experiences of the bhakti springing in their hearts for a short period of time. Like for example, one time I was in this Ambala Ratyatra. For the first time I saw His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj was singing. Loud kirtan for the holy name and surrounded by 6 mridangas, you know, all playing mridangam very loudly. And that was one of the first Ratyatras I got to attend. So when I went there in that zone of kirtan, it was so vibrant. Everybody was jumping high and dancing and singing. I was transported to another world practically. So some amount of bhakti bhava we will experience in special occasions in our life. When you see a darshan, or when you hear a particular katha, or when you chant on a particular day, some day the chanting is very powerful, another day the chanting is very dull. So those small droplets of bhakti that Krishna is giving us, so that we will not leave and go away. Otherwise, we won't be sitting here today. So many devotees are sitting here today because some little experience Krishna has given us. But we want to increase that period of experience of bhakti. How can it happen? We have to certainly look into the offenses that we are committing. We have to avoid the offenses. And we have to also increase the bhakti onmukha sukriti. We have to increase our account of bhakti, which is very less. And as we increase, then by this, the faith will increase. Then we will have the premanjana charita, eyes of faith, eyes of love, with which we can see things with proper faith. And then we can relish bhakti, appreciate bhakti. And then we can grow in our bhakti more and more. Hare Krishna.
This question is for Govind Prabhu. Why is the jiva made so helpless that he cannot do anything without the help of the Supreme Lord in the material world? Is it true in the spiritual world also?
Hare Krishna. Actually, helplessness is the faculty of the consciousness, that we feel helpless. But if we act helpless, that is pure laziness. Now, if you see, Krishna has provided so much of resources for us to contribute so much. In fact, Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Gita that when the living entity cooperates with the Supreme Lord, cooperation means what? That means living entity also has something to contribute. Of course, we know that is also coming from Krishna, but Krishna has given it and he doesn't control all the time. Hey, maine diya yaad rakh, hey, maine diya yaad rakh. He has given it us. And it is our responsibility whether we use it rightly or we abuse it. This material world also, many times we call it miserable. But are we really miserable from that perspective? We are able to breathe. We are able to walk. We are able to talk. We are able to eat prasad. You know, sometimes we see some people, those who have breathing problem, that they get choked up. You know, they almost get choked and die. But most people are not like that. You see sometimes blind people. But we have eyes. Most people have eyes. Most people can walk. So even though it's a prison house, but so much of resources Krishna has provided here. So therefore, helplessness is a sign of a humble consciousness of a devotee. After rendering so much service to Krishna, he still does not want to take credit. So feeling helplessness is the faculty of the consciousness and the heart. But not acting. You know, therefore Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, we discussed in the Madhuban, that Mam Anusmara Yuddhacha, remembrance and performance of our duty. This combination will give us Krishna. Thinking that I am helpless and not acting, that will not bring Krishna to us. That is escapism and laziness. So therefore, it is a devotee, one who is very, very enterprising, hard-working. Then he feels helpless. Why? Because he realizes how insignificant I am. But that only comes when he actually puts all his energy in Krishna's service. One time, Radhananda Maharaj was mentioning, only when we put our 100%, then Krishna's help starts coming. I put 0% and I said, Krishna, please help me. That means we make Krishna as our maid servant, Pukadka maid servant. No salary is required. Only when we put our 100%, then he was saying, then Krishna starts helping us. So therefore, helplessness is a very healthy sign for those devotees who are very active and anushilata, as Rupa Goswami explains. Then that experience of helplessness, it gives rise to remembrance of Krishna in a very spontaneous way. Hare Krishna.
This could be our last question for Radha Gopinath Prabhu. We hear very exalted philosophy. Sometimes I feel, how shall I ever achieve such a state? So how to imbibe the exalted philosophy and lessons that we hear?
Before that, I would like to go back to the previous question that was asked to me about, I feel not inspired, I'm coming, I'm chanting, everything. But what do I do? That is the reason why Rupa Goswami, in his Upadesha Amrita, the nectar of instruction, gives very systematically what one should do to increase. And one of the first few things that he says is utsahat, nishchayat and dhairya. Utsaha is enthusiasm and dhairya is patience. They seem to be contradictory. A enthusiastic person becomes restless and a patient person can become lazy. So in between is put nishchaya. You can only remain enthusiastic in spite of lack of feeling of advancement only when there is faith. Nishchaya that I'm on the right path and I just need to be enthusiastic. And one can only be patient and not become a victim to a restlessness of the mind when there is patience and when there is faith. One time we were traveling, Rasamrita Maharaj was driving, it was 91, 92, it was Devamrita Das at that time, driving full speed, and we were supposed to go to a program which was far away, little far away from Mumbai, outskirts, and it was a rainy day and we had to reach, and it was just about 10 minutes left and we had to go about 10 more kilometers, and it was heavy rains. And we came to a crossroad, and there was no road signs, and we were at a loss which road to take because they were going in two different directions. 10 minutes left, heavy rain, slippery road, and 10 kilometers to go, and we have to reach on time. So we were wondering what to do, what to do. So ultimately we said, okay, it's not good to speculate, but still we will toss a coin. Heads will go left, tails will go right. Because there was no one around to ask, and nothing. We had to do something to show Krishna we really want to do. So heads we got, and we took a left turn. And we went for almost like 2 kilometers, desperately looking for someone, some indication. And then we found one fellow, old man, sitting under a tree. And I went and told him. I asked this person, "Tumhala maithi hai kya? Kuthe hai?" "Ah." He was totally stone deaf. So I had to ask him 10 times. And "Asakara, 2 kilometer wapas ja tumhi." And before he could say further, immediately I jumped into and he started driving. And then he was driving with such speed, we reached on time. He went back 2 kilometers and went 10 kilometers. So, why? He was very enthusiastic because he knew we are now on the right road. And even though we didn't see for quite some time, we were still patient. We know we are on the right road. We'll get it. Well, the place will come. So, when we have faith in the scriptures, Guru Sadhu Shastra, then being enthusiastic in spite of not experiencing very advanced state of consciousness is normal. We can just go on because we know we are on the right track. It's just a question of time. Or during parikrama also we find that. 5 kilometer, 5 kilometer. Chal hi raha hai. And also patient and not become restless. So in case you are feeling, because enthusiasm can also be a passionate mode of, you know, it can be in the mode of passion. And in the name of patience, you can become in the mode of ignorance, lazy. So if you are feeling lack of enthusiasm, associate with dynamic, enthusiastic young people who have a lot of faith. And if you are feeling too much restless and passionate, associate with some seniors who are very patient. So in this way we balance. Yeah.
So we hear very exalted philosophy. Sometimes we feel that will I ever achieve such state? How to imbibe the exalted philosophy and lessons we hear? By reading Srila Prabhupada's purports. The Chaitanya Charitamrita puts our heads in the clouds, but Srila Prabhupada's purports put our feet on the ground. Like for example, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when they speak about Narada, he left this as soon as 5-year-old boy and mother died. He saw it as Krishna's arrangement and he started walking to the north. And he just walked and walked and walked. And some good situation came, passed through gold mine and silver mine. And he didn't settle down there, I'll start a business. And he went through very rough terrains, very dangerous jungles. He didn't get disturbed. So some good days came, some bad days came, some good situation came, some bad situation came. But because he was focused on the goal, therefore none of these temptations and distractions or the obstacles ever could stop. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives, so Narada went like this, traveling all over. And a renunciate has to become fearless and travel all over, completely dependence on Krishna, experiencing new terrains, experiencing life in different countries, different places. That's a way of, a sannyasi advances, dependence on Krishna. And then he says, but in this day and age, this is not possible. Therefore, one should actually, at a particular suitable time, retire and go to some holy places and take shelter of the 6 Goswamis' books and be absorbed there. So when we hear about very, very exalted kind of statements in philosophy, immediately go to the purport. Because the purport connects the same principle in a way that we can actually connect and relate. That is the purpose of the purports. The purports brings the ancient traditional spirit in a modern package, but in a very tangible and connected and related way. That is Srila Prabhupada's contribution in parampara. Otherwise, Dhruva Maharaj did for 6 months. How does it make a difference to me? It's too scary because Bhagavatam gave extreme cases. So Dhruva Maharaj didn't breathe for 12 days, ate once in 9 days, dry leaves or something. So there is a tendency we may get discouraged. So in one lecture, one sannyasi made a very nice statement. Dhruva Maharaj stood up on one leg. At least we can stand up during japa if he feels sleepy. Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries, later only dry leaves, eventually water and just air. We can at least resolve to just taste only prasad and nothing else. So Dhruva Maharaj gradually intensified his absorption and focus. So that's what we are supposed to do. That is the spirit, that's the principle. There are extreme cases. They are given in the Bhagavatam so that we don't become puffed up because of our paltry austerities. They are like Mahajans, they are like world record holders. So they are very quite exalted philosophy, but the purports in parampara, as I said, the shlokas take our heads in the cloud, but the purports put our feet on the ground. to make it connect, relate to the world, in the world that we are living, in a way that we can apply it, in a way that we can actually move from where we are ahead in our progressive path back home, back to God. Hare Krishna.